do take a seat. We've come now to that time of our gathering this morning where we're going to enter into the business part of our meeting. And with apologies to those of you who are visitors or guests with us this morning, this only happens once a year. Don't worry, not all of our gatherings are like this. So it's great to have you with us, but with apologies, this isn't what our normal gatherings are like. But this is nonetheless an important day as we kind of look back on the year that's been, but also look forward to what God is going to be doing in this year ahead. And a little bit later on, Paul is going to be addressing us and he's going to be speaking to us about looking back and also looking forward a little bit as well. But first of all, we've got a few bits of business that we need to do before we get to there. And our meeting is structured into two different sections. First of all, there's the annual meeting of parishioners, of which there is only one agenda item. And then after that, the annual parochial church meeting. I have absolutely no idea why the Church of England does it like that. 3 years of theological education and nobody actually told me. So I will be asking Paul later on when we have time for questions for him. Why on earth do we do it like this? But anyway, let's go first of all to the annual meeting of parishioners. First of all, you will have seen in the email that we had asked whether everybody was happy for Rosemary Hall to again be appointed as secretary to the APCM. And Rosemary's down there. Perhaps we could thank her for her work as PCC secretary. And Rosemary, you'll be glad to know that no objections were received to your appointment. So Rosemary Hall is hereby appointed as secretary to this meeting. Also, the minutes, no amendments were received for the minutes. So please, could I have a show of hands for all of those who are on the electoral roll who are in favour of saying, yes, those are the minutes of the last meeting. Wonderful. Any abstentions? Anybody against? Great, pass unanimously, Rosemary, that's wonderful. There were no matters arising, which brings us to our one bit of business for this part of the meeting, which is the election of church wardens. And we have had two church wardens for the past year, Derek and Sean, and we're delighted to say that they've both agreed to stand for a further year. So Derek has been proposed by Val Moore and seconded by Mark Orris. Sean has been proposed by Joe Hewitt and seconded by Giles Chanot. And since there are no other kind of applications, I hereby declare that they are elected as wardens for a following year. Derek is unfortunately not able to be with us today, which means, Sean, you're going to have to stand up on your own. So anyway, so this is Sean. Thank you so much to you, Sean, for your service over this last year, and also to Derek as well. And let's just spend a moment just praying for these guys. Father God, thank you so much for the wisdom and the leadership that Derek and Sean have provided for this church in this last year. And we pray, Father, for your very rich blessings upon them in this year ahead as they continue to serve you in this office. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. Excellent. So now moving on to our annual parochial church meeting. The first part of the agenda for this is to record apologies. Apologies, again, were asked for in advance, and we have received a number of those apologies, which you'll be able to see in the minutes of the meeting. Also, we need to vote to accept those minutes. And again, this was sent out by email in advance, and no amendments were received for those minutes. So please, could I have another show of hands to approve those minutes? Wonderful. Any against? Any abstentions? Okay, great. So again, pass unanimously, Rosemary. Again, there were no matters arising from those minutes. And then the fourth bit of business is to mention the electoral roll. Again, those of you who are on the electoral roll will have received an email with details of the electoral roll figures, but just the headline figure for those of you who didn't receive those, that is, our electoral roll now stands at 415. So moving on to the subject of elections. And first of all, a big thank you to those who are standing down from serving on PCC and Deanery Synod this year. First of all, let's do Deanery Synod first of all. Mel Griffiths and Martin Frey. Could you both stand up if you're here? I know Martin's here. I'm not sure whether I've seen Mel. or not this morning. So Mel's not here. Martin and Mel as well, we have been so grateful for your service on PCC and also on Deanery Synod. And we just want to say a very big thank you to you for everything that you've done for us as a church. So why don't we just thank Martin and in proxy Mel as well. Thank you very much. And standing down from PCC is Patrick Bolster, who's also our treasurer. Patrick, would you stand up, please? I know we'll see you in a minute. But I did want to make a special vote of thanks to Patrick, because he has done an absolutely fantastic job over these last few years as being treasurer, as leading our finance team, and has done an amazing job in helping to simplify our church finances, but also to ensure that we're on a very sound financial footing moving into the future. And I think probably the highest accolade that I can give you, Patrick, is to say that I actually understand your financial presentations. I don't think it comes much better and higher praise than that. So, Patrick, thank you so much for everything that you've done, and we will miss you on PCC, but obviously you'll still be around, and no doubt we'll be blagging your services at some point in time. So let's thank Patrick and Martin and Mel again. Wonderful. So we do have some, well, we have places available on both Deanery Synod and PCC. So this year we had 5 places available for people to represent the church on Deanery Synod, which, for those of you who don't know what Deanery Synod is, that's the next level of church governance up from the PCC and the local level of the PCC. And so we have 5 places available, but only 2 people standing. And those are Val Moore, who is nominated by Brendan Biggs and seconded by Di Noon, and also Clough Noon, who's nominated by Val Moore and seconded by Simon Collar. So Clough, why don't you stand up? Val, I suspect, is downstairs cooking, so she's probably not up here. So I hereby duly declare that you are elected. Well done, Clough. Congratulations. So that's both Val and Clough elected without need of an election. We do also have 2 spaces for PCC members, and we do have 2 applications for those who wish to stand for PCC. The first is Adam Marriott, who's nominated by Jeff Lambert and seconded by Robin Thomas, and then Kevin Stone, who's nominated by Chris Whitwell and seconded by Rosemary Barker. And I know that Adam's not able to be with us this morning, but is Kevin around? Is he here this morning? Okay, right. 1 out of 4 isn't bad, is it? But anyway, I hereby declare that they are duly elected, which is wonderful. So please do congratulate them on the next available opportunity. So why don't we pray for these 4 guys? Father, thank you so much for Val, for Clough, for Adam, and for Kevin. Lord, thank you for their willingness to stand, and in Val's case, to stand again, Lord, in service of your church, both for those who are on PCC, but also for those who are serving more widely in Deanery Synod. Lord, we thank you so much for those who are willing to give their lives and their time in pursuit of your kingdom in serving through leadership. And so, Father, we pray for your richest blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful, fantastic. Well, I'm going to hand over to Patrick now, as he's going to bring us our finance report. So why don't we welcome Patrick as he comes up.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Can you hear me okay there? I have a tendency to be too close or too far away, so just do what my 10-month-old son does, something like that, to get my attention, and hopefully that will work. Okay, well, thanks for the kind words from Tim. I had different feedback a year ago, actually. There was a former treasurer who joked that he'd never seen a set of finance slides with so few numbers in them. I have persevered. There are slides for the big picture with numbers in, and taking on board the feedback, some of the numbers are pulled out into quite big, be quite visual, so hopefully that will work. As ever with finances, you're trying to meet a number of different audiences. So the slides are for the big picture. And then for those who like the detail, there's a set of accounts on the website, which you can go to. Some people have already and email questions, which is great. And if you've got any more detailed questions, you've got grab me later as well, because we've only got a brief slot here, really. But grab myself. And also, you could also talk to David. David Daniels on the PCC. Would you stand, David, just to be able to... Also on the finance team, there's David, okay. And also Mark as well, as on the finance team, and Alan has joined us recently as well, so thank you for all your time on finances. So on the subject of thanks, just one of the key things to say is that in terms of running the finances, we have a team of people, as you can see, involved with doing that, but also we've got people who play a key role in terms of looking at things and asking questions. So, and former treasurers play a great role. So I'm not sure if Colin Havell's here, but he always is extraordinarily helpful by going through the accounts in some detail. He's got great experience on that, so thank you for him. Big picture overview on our funds. We've got about four major funds. We've got our unrestricted general fund for the day-to-day operations of the church. We've got a legacy fund, which is earmarked for special purposes. We've got the Renew Fund for the renewal of the building, capital investment, and a restricted mission fund for when people give to give to specific mission partners, and the money is earmarked specifically for them. Within our unrestricted general fund, which I'll come on to a bit more in a minute, the main items, most people will be aware, but just as a reminder, is giving to the diocese to support the diocese's own provision of clergy across the diocese, including for ourselves, and also the training of new ministers as well. And then our wonderful staff team, and then mission giving beyond the parish, and then finally for our operations and the building, the wonderful church building we're in. And in terms of how this is sustained, about three quarters of that comes from provision, regular giving. Okay, could we have the next slide, please? Just a bit of perspective, bright colours to make sure that things are visible. This is just showing really over 10 years Christchurch's finances, going back, I haven't got my glasses on, but I think it's going back at least 10 years. And what you'll see, sorry? 10 years, perfect. And what this is actually showing, it's not numbers percentage, but it's showing our net surplus or deficit as a percentage of our income. So if you take your income and then your expenditure, what is the surplus or deficit, whether we've spent slightly more or slightly less, as the case may be, compared to the income, because that's a good measure for a treasurer and finance team and for all of us in terms of where we are. What you'll see standing out is about 4 years ago in 2013, there was quite a big imbalance. We had a big deficit. It was about £83,000. The following year, the deficit was £17,000. The year after that, 2 years ago, we had a surplus of £7,000. And last year, 2016, for which the accounts we've got here, a small surplus again of £2,000. So we give thanks to God, really, and thank you for all of your giving for Christchurch, God's work here in Christchurch. It's, you know, a wonderful blessing to see that change. And really what we want to see is things a bit like what you see on the right-hand side. We don't want big surpluses. We want to be doing God's work here. We don't want big deficits either. So it's a real balance always with our finances, trying to get that right. So if you could move on to the next slide, please. These three bars showing the last 2 years and then the year ahead. So bringing in our budget for the year we're now in 2017. Some headline points for you. So in 2016, we had a 2% increase in our giving compared to 2015. We gave £182,000 to the diocese to support clergy and mission work across the diocese. And that includes, we had Oliver Holm come and talk to us a couple of months ago, but that includes supporting parishes in poorer areas of Bristol to ensure that they have the provision needed to do God's work there. And also, the diocese is really looking to step up training of ministers. That's really important. Our staff costs were higher than 2015 because we had the full year of additional members of the team in terms of kids pastor and senior lay pastors, whereas in 2015 it was only 2 or 3 months, the back end of 2015. And in 2016, we gave £117,000 from the unrestricted fund to mission partners, but in total, £154,000, including the restricted giving I was referring to earlier, including a really large one-off gift. In terms of the other funds, we had a final legacy from the estate of Jean Powell Winter of £31,000, and we, within the Renew Fund, we all know about the Spire coffee shop and all the investment we made there. So that was about £14,000 worth in 2016 that went into the capital equipment side of things. And for those who've been in, through the accounts, in the unrestricted general fund, there was about £2,000 of the operating costs in December to be ready to launch and open in January. So looking now into 2017, what the eagle-eyed and very observant will notice the increase in 2017 compared to 2016, and that really reflects the PCC stepping out in faith and having a stepping out in faith budget. And that was really the reflection of that was it was following our vision, of course, and there were two major items that represented that increase. Firstly, increase of giving to the diocese for the purposes I've just mentioned, and that's a substantial increase of £28,000. And then for staff costs, so for the second half of this year and on for a full-time youth worker, and the staff costs are also higher because of having the full-year effect of our new full-time admin team leader, which we had a slight change in the staffing from a sort of part-time role to a full-time role, a more senior role. So what this meant for us as a church family was a provision appeal a couple of months ago for us to get to increase our giving collectively by £34,000. And I can announce that we're not there yet, but we're close to. If you could move on to the next slide, please. And so on the right hand is showing 2017. The blue bar is showing our budget, our stepping out in faith budget. And the orange bar is showing, well, what if all our costs were in line with budget and our giving was reflecting in this year what the pledges are, where we would be, which is 628,000, so not quite there yet. But that, of course, is just 2017, so a lot of the pledges for increases have come in from March or April. So the full year annual pledges increases £30,000, which is a very substantial increase. So we give thanks to God and thanks to everybody in the church family for all the giving, whether it's an increase or continued giving, reduction, whatever it might be. Thank you and God bless you. And we are in that position now, poised then to appoint the youth worker, which is an enormous blessing. For those who are still considering and praying around their pledges, please do so. But I think just really positive news to give you there. Another probably running out of time, but I'm almost there, which is good. Other items to mention: the Spire Coffee Shop in 2017. It's not about making money, as we know. It's about drawing our community in and being a blessing to our community. But we are planning to break even. We hope to break even in 2017. But if we don't, it's the legacy fund that will be funding any shortfall that there might be. So I just wanted to mention that. And I think I'll just pause there for any questions.
Wonderful, fantastic. Well, we have had one question in advance, and this is a question from Andy Haynes, who asks, it was announced a few months ago that the PCC had set a faith budget for what is now the current financial year. I'm puzzled by the repeated requests to complete forms giving indications of our planned giving and would be interested to know how they are justified against the declared position. Surely setting any budget is a decision of faith, and then in brackets, even for commercial companies. In over 30 years of church attendance, Christchurch is the only one where I've been regularly asked to give an indication of my intended giving.
Okay, thank you. I shall seek to answer that. So I think part of the question was around the word faith rather than stepping out in faith. Mm-hmm. So I think Andy's point is a really good one. Any budgeting is always, has faith in it. But this one really was a stepping out in faith. To his second point, I think it's been the practice here for a long time to every year have a provision appeal, and the purpose for that is while everything we do is indeed in faith, we need to have some basis really to plan and to have an indication idea for that. That's really important, whether it's a church, any charity, or any other organisation. So that's why we seek to do that, such that the finance team can plan with some confidence and to help us make decisions, really. And it enables the finance team, the treasurer at the PCC, to advise and for the PCC to make decisions. So that's really the answer.
Thanks, Patrick. Excellent. Does anybody have any quick questions for Patrick at this stage? Okay, Rob.
Thanks, Patrick. Just a little bit curious, and it's really just that I don't understand what Parish Share is all about. Just curious to know why it dropped back about £18,000 between 2015 and 2016. Any particular reason?
Yes, so in in 2015. In 2015, we'd budgeted. Some of you will know I often talk about the balance between faith and very careful stewardship of our resources, which we always have to get. In 2015, we were quite cautious and prudent in our budgeting, and we found that our income was ahead of what we expected in 2015, and the PCC decided that we would give further to the diocese. So we'd been cautious about our income, and we've been quite cautious as a result in terms of what we pledged the diocese previously. But we'd always said that if giving was at the appropriate level, we would give at the higher level for the diocese. So that's really why. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, Patrick. One last question. Okay, John.
Well, thank you. On behalf of those who have difficulty in hearing, what progress has been made regarding the link system, which was cut a number of years ago?
I didn't quite catch that regarding the what system? I often say to my wife, I'm not as dumb as I look. But
I think this is probably a question which is more suitable for Paul to answer rather than it being a financial question. So I think we'll save that one, John, if we may, for Paul later on. Okay, one last one. Okay, Brian.
Several mentions have been made that information can be gathered by emails or the internet. Will hard copies be available for those who do not have this facility or do not want to use it?
Yes, there will. So, and there should hopefully be quite a few here today. So I'll personally make sure, on the table. So as Paul's just showing there, there's as I was saying at the start, trying to meet everyone's needs, there's a two-page document there that gives a bit of the commentary that I've just been giving, a bit more depth on it. And on one side, it actually shows the detail numbers that underpin what was in the charts. So you'll see a 2015, 2016, and 2017 budget.
And there are actually a small number of other hard copies of all of the paperwork that's been sent out available at the Info Hub at the end, should anybody need it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Why don't we give Patrick another vote of thanks? Thank you very much. One final bit of business under the finance section of our APCM, and that is that we need to appoint independent examiners for our finances. Again, this was sent out by email, and Burton Sweet are hereby approved by this meeting as our independent financial examiners. I'm going to hand over to Janet now, who's going to lead us in our prayers and intercessions.
So much to give thanks for and so much to pray for. Let's be quiet and pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of thankfulness and praise as we have heard about the great goodness, about all the things you have poured out for us, for our church. And yet, Lord, we know you are a great God, and yet our hearts are still concerned about others, those in trouble. So we'll start by praying for the world and then focus in closer to home. Heavenly Father, today we're still concerned about tensions with North Korea. We do pray for peace, for diplomacy. We ask for an end to tensions. Remember, too, two of our young adults who have gone out to Romania, for Susanna and King and Andy McPherson, as they visit Romania this weekend and Emmanuel Hospice. We pray that you'll bless them and bless our connections with the hospice there. And again, our hearts are full of compassion for those who have lost somebody. And we think of the McCann family who are missing Madeline. We think, too, of those 200 girls from Nigeria, the Chibok girls, still missing. So let's, in the quiet now, pray for those different world situations and pray now for God's blessing upon them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray now for our church, and this weekend the interviews are taking place for the youth pastor, and coming up in a few weeks we'll be interviewing for coffee shop manager. Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom and discernment for the different panels involved in interviewing for those two posts. We pray that you will lead the person of your choice to fill those particular roles. We give you thanks for our youth, for all that you are doing amongst them, and we give thanks too for the impact of the Spa Coffee Shop, and continue to pray for your blessing upon that work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, I think we're all aware of various people who are sick or ill at the moment. And as I mentioned these people, you may want to choose to focus on one of them in particular or somebody else you know in need of prayer at the moment. Pray for Mary Lou Thonga in Southmead, waiting for a biopsy on Tuesday, but very ill. We pray for Margaret Rains, who had a long operation on Friday and is in the BRI. And we remember, too, Barbara Pond with breathing difficulties, again in the BRI at the moment. So let's pray now for their healing. Let's choose one of those three people or somebody else we know and pray for God's healing hand to touch them and for them to know the presence of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we lift before you our thanks for all that you have done and our prayer that your kingdom will come. Your kingdom will come here in Clifton, in Christchurch. We pray that you will help us to fulfill and take part in the mission of God to reach out with the good news of Jesus to this parish, to Clifton, to Bristol, and beyond. We ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The vicar's trying to get up here before me, before I've had a chance to have my say. I think the APCM is an opportunity for us, as Paul will be doing in just a few moments, to say thank you to a number of people. And I'm just aware that because the vicar always does this talk, nobody ever gets to thank the vicar. And so I just thought it would be really good. Paul and Jackie, why don't you stand so that we can show our appreciation of you guys as a couple, but also of your leadership. So, Father, we do just pray for these guys. Lord, we thank you so much for them. Lord, we love them, and we thank you so much for the gifts and the ability and the wisdom and the insight that they bring to their role here at Christchurch. And we pray, Father, for your very richest blessings upon them and their family, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Reminded of Billy Graham once at Westminster Central Hall. And the person who'd been detailed to introduce him went on and on and on and said all these amazing things about him. And he stood up and his first words were, "Never in the history of Christian endeavor has so little been introduced by so much." I did love listening to our kids at the beginning, didn't you? I love listening to little Scarlett quite openly renegotiating the terms and conditions of kids' church. It was absolutely brilliant. And the other day, little Violet, you may have noticed Violet at the front, I was honoured to hold her rabbit during the singing. And Violet obviously had been thinking, I love the way kids think and the logic of their thoughts. So 3-year-old Violet the other day said to Sam and Alex, her parents, I go to mini church, don't I? Yes, they said. Du Bois call it Mickey Church. It's just genius, isn't it? It's absolute genius. We've got some more from Scarlett in a moment. But just to say thank you, firstly, to members of the church family who have so warmly and helpfully embraced the slight changes to the way we've done things, just to streamline, particularly to help our kids team and our youth teams with our children and young people this morning. And I'm going to do my best to be brief so that we've got a time for questions. I want to read to you just two verses of scripture this morning. And what I'm going to try to do is actually I'm going to extrapolate or extend my annual talk over the next couple of weeks. And so if you're not here at the 10 in the next couple of weeks, do listen online as we just have a look at some of the things that we'll develop. So I'm going to give some headlines of what I believe God is doing, what we're seeing, what we're hoping for in our midst. Let me just read these verses. They'll be on the screens. I'm sure the significance of them for any church will be apparent from Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Over the years, many Christians have seen in those verses God's design for his church. It is expansion and growth, not in a militaristic or a political sense in the way that these verses were originally meant, but in terms of the people, the territory, and the influence that is God's design for his church. In actual fact, these verses go back to the very beginning. I believe they describe what's happening in Christchurch at the moment, but they go back to the beginning, to Abraham's call, to that blessing of Abraham that he would be given descendants, land, and significance and influence. And the significance and influence of God's people is always through blessing other people. We don't seek significance and influence in the way that our world does, in the way that statesmen and politicians do. We seek significance and influence by our humble, servant-hearted blessing of the communities and cities in which we're set. That's what the Bible understands, certainly the New Covenant understanding of what it is to be people of significance. Jesus said much the same in some of his final words to his followers. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations. There's the people and the territory, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, teaching them to become people of influence in this world. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking through a particular text that has been significant for us as a leadership team, and I'll say more about that next week, about the way that we are called to respond, to live according to the blessings and the promises and the prophetic words we've been given as a church family, and to seek that increase in people, territory, and influence through blessing. We now understand as a church more clearly our destiny and calling under God as we seek to play our part in bringing God's kingdom in Clifton, Bristol, and beyond. I just want to give three examples of the way that growth is happening in the life of Christchurch from very different ends of the age spectrum. So our Trailblazers group this year has had to relocate from Linden Gate into Christchurch Primary because it's too big for its previous premises. Our 20s and 30s group have had to move from the crypt downstairs up into this main building. So every Tuesday evening, our 20s and 30s, they come in, they clear all the chairs, they set the tables up like this, and that's how they have their meeting. And the midweek service, which is one of our more traditional gatherings for worship and praise during the week, is growing week by week, and that's a real encouragement to those who come. And if you've not yet popped in on the midweek service, it isn't just for a certain age group, it's for anybody. You may be working locally, you may have a day off, you may have the time to come, and we would love to see you at that midweek service. So some headline things. We are at the moment, Patrick mentioned the appointment of a new youth pastor. And because of people's generous giving, we're able to move ahead with that. And we're actually coming towards the end of a weekend-long process of interviews. Whenever we appoint new members of the team, that always begins with them having to go for a walk with me on the Friday. You have a completely different conversation with people when you're walking side by side than when you're sitting in an interview situation. So I always begin that way. They came to a meeting point. We had 11 applicants, by the way, for this post. And we were able to shortlist an incredibly strong three candidates who are over at Pathfinders at the moment. Scarlett, who was the one renegotiating with Ruthie, thought it'd be good, because her mum's church warden, it'd be good if Scarlett had a bit of input into the questions that should be addressed to the youth pastor. Would you like to know what Scarlett's questions were? I was going to read them anyway, but it's nice to know that you're with me. She had five questions. Firstly, do you believe in God? Secondly, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Thirdly, are you good at looking after kids? Four, are you good at playing games? And five, do you know how to make stuff? Isn't that just brilliant? Wonderful. So please pray, continue to pray. Those candidates will be sharing lunch with us later. You may want to chat with them and talk with them. Pray for God's guidance that those panels, we've got three panels. We always have two panels, one looking at character and competence, one looking at competence, one looking at character. And this time we added a third panel, which was made up of some of our young people, so that they could actually have their own interview panel, and that those interviews happened yesterday. And I just want to say a huge thanks once again to Kate, who is over there. She's moved from where she last stood up, so she can stand up again for the penalty of moving. And the team at Meeting Point for all they've done, and the other youth leaders in holding the fort, as it were, not just holding the fort, but expanding and developing our youth ministry in this time. So thank you, Kate, very much indeed, and to all your team. I want to talk now a little bit about people, and one of the core drivers of any church is to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And our Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has launched an evangelistic prayer window of 11 days from Ascension Day, which is the 25th of May, as I'm sure you're all aware, through to Pentecost, which is on Sunday, the 4th of June. And the Archbishop is calling, initially he was calling people of the churches in England. This has gone global. It's gone absolutely global. It's been captured by denominations that have almost no contact with the Anglican Church. And it's incredibly exciting. And it is about praying for people we know to come to faith, committing to pray during those times. Evangelism, we're on a Darsan Day at the clergy, and one of the really good things I heard there was this definition of evangelism, which I think is going to be on the screens if you can find it. Evangelism is when someone knows more of Jesus when they leave you than when they met you. That's a great definition of evangelism. And it's so cleverly written because that could be a lifelong relationship. It could be just the meeting at a checkout situation. So it could be a very brief meeting. It could be a long meeting. Evangelism is when someone knows more of Jesus when they leave you than when they met you. And I'm going to invite you today, we as a leadership want to invite you and urge you to join the Archbishop's Challenge. We're going to watch a video that Justin has made before I say a few more words.
There's a lot about this job that stops you getting too self-important. I remember being at some event, one of my colleagues heard someone in the crowd whisper, "Isn't that the Archbishop of Canterbury over there?" And the person's friend hissed back, "Nah, too short." When I meet Jesus Christ at the judgment, I know one thing. He isn't going to care what size of archbishop I was, or I think whether I was an archbishop. What matters is that I loved him and sought to follow him, and above all, that I trusted in him alone for my life and my future. Because the most important thing I've ever done is to become a follower of Jesus. I took my first steps with him about 42 years ago. Over those years, he's been a faithful friend, a sovereign Lord, compassionate, forgiving, my ever-present saviour. Everything in my life, the heart and foundation of all I am. Through the hardest and most painful times, and in the best and most joyful times of my life, Jesus has walked alongside me. He's never left, even when I've wanted him to. When I felt ready to give up hope, he picked me up, and it's his love that has healed me and strengthened me. Following Jesus has been the core point of my life, and that's one reason I want everyone to hear his voice calling to them and to learn what it is to find his love, his call, his direction, his purpose. That's why I'm pledging to pray for more people to know the life-transforming love of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm asking you, along with every Christian community around the world, to join me in pledging to pray as part of Thy Kingdom Come.
Isn't that fantastic to have an archbishop who speaks in that way? In your annual report, you'll all have received a flyer. We will arrange things to do here during that 11-day period. We'll give more details next week. But actually, the main thing is for you. I want you to talk about this. I want you to pray about it. I want you to talk about it in your home groups. Might your small group decide that during those 11 days, you will commit to walk and pray through every street in the community where you meet? If you have children, will you download some of the resources to help your children pray? One of the things you can get is one of these little cords, and the idea is you tie five knots in it, and as you tie five knots, you think of five different people you're going to pray for to come to know Jesus Christ. There are so many things that you can do. The key is how you will respond. We would love to have, leading up to that, if you've got testimonies of God's answers to prayer, please will you tell one of the team? We'd love to feature that and be able to encourage and build faith that way. All sorts of resources are available, so do please have a look at that. And please come back to us with your ideas. Please note, because of the focus on Thy Kingdom Come, there won't be a prayer meeting a week tomorrow, Monday the 8th of May. That's cancelled, but we will have lots of prayer events during that period of Thy Kingdom Come. Come and talk to us with your ideas. Just a couple of other things. I know we need to make time for questions. I just want to talk a little bit about Renew, and I know this addresses one of the questions. Renew is happening in phases. Phase one, which is the Spire coffee shop, is now complete, and we want to give a huge vote of thanks to those who've made that happen. Let me just list some of the names. I hope I've included most of them. John Barrett, Janet Lee, Jan Tyrrell, Mark Orris, Gay Sawyer, David Troughton, David Daniels, Kari Howard, who is our first manager and got the whole thing off the ground, and Hannah Bottom, who at the moment is our interim manager. Can we just say, if you're named there, please will you stand up? And we'll just say thank you to you. Thank you so much. Thank you. If you've not yet had a chance to pop in on the Spire, do please. It's just the most amazing atmosphere. It's amazing to see people in our community, people from the other side of the world who've come to find the bridge and end up in a Christian coffee shop. Do come. And we've got an amazing team of barista volunteers. And if you volunteer baristas, and if you'd like to be one of those, we'd love to hear from you. It's one of the greatest things you can do in the life of this church at the moment. And as Patrick said, the manager role Janet mentioned in prayers is being advertised again. So if you know of anybody who might be interested in that, do please let us know. So in our phased approach, phase two, we're going to be talking with the PCC, the new PCC, as it gathers next month, about the next phase, which we believe and we're going to be discussing with the PCC, will be to do with the crypt and completely refurbishing that as we approach this in phases. And we will this time, because you know what it's like when you think we're going to be doing stuff and you don't want to spend money on things that are going to have to be taken out. I can promise you, we will talk about how we can address this loop issue as part of that, because we're going to have to do quite a lot of work up here anyway for the work down below. So we will add that to the agenda. I promise you that will be talked about, and we'll let you know in due course. In the autumn, over the summer and in the autumn, I took the decision I believe God was leading me to, and the PCC gave its wholehearted support to review the way that we organized our life on Sundays. Some of you are new to Christchurch since November, and you don't even know there's been a change, but there has. And we've lived with that now for 6 months or so, and now is the time to review it and to get a sense from you as to how that experience is working out. There are hard copies. We try to make hard copies available to those who can't access emails. There are hard copies of all the... there's one for each of the gatherings that has changed on a Sunday there at the Info Hub. And during this week, electronic copies of these will be sent out to all our members, and we'd love you to fill those back in. It's a very simple questionnaire. On the bottom, there's the question that we as a leadership would love to hear back from you. What do you see God doing? And we hope you'll spend some time praying and responding to that. Other things I will return to next week, but the last thing I want to do, or virtually the last thing, is to talk about the way that God calls us to bless the city and to resource the city. And some of you will be aware that Erica's been doing some thinking and praying. I'm going to get Erica to come up to the front. Most of you will know that Erica Bebb is a member of our clergy team here and also is licensed as pastor for the creative arts, both in this church and across the diocese. And Erica's got some exciting news to share with us today. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Paul. Well, good morning, everyone. Is this turned on?
Yes, it is.
Well, since last September, I've been sensing the Lord calling me to serve artists and creatives across the city in a new way. And I'm grateful to Paul, who's given me the space and time to listen to the Lord and to pursue this to a conclusion. Part of our vision as a church family is to see the church move out and also to serve the city and to be a resource centre. And this calling from God resonates with that. And so we're going to set up a fresh expression of church for creatives and artists. Some of you might ask, well, what's a fresh expression? Well, a fresh expression is a national movement, and it's found in the Anglican Church and in other denominations also. It intentionally forms church and seeks to serve particular or specific people groups or communities in ways that are accessible to them. It exists outside the traditional structures of the church, that is, outside the church walls, but it bears the hallmarks of church, that is, worship, mission, and discipleship. This ministry will dovetail with my work in the diocese and also as facilitator for the Bristol Art Sphere, which is an ecumenical ministry under the umbrella of Together for Bristol. To name just a few of our activities, we'll be meeting weekly and monthly. We'll be meeting in different venues for discipleship. And our mission activities at the moment will centre around the newly formed Three Crowns Performing Arts Company and Visual Arts Gallery. I'm really grateful to be able to share this good news at the APCM. But if you'd like to know more, please do ask me after the meeting or message me. You'll still see me probably about monthly at the 10 or the 5, and you'll certainly be seeing my husband, Richard, who will be obviously he's part of the worship team and he's one of our safeguarding officers. And of course, I'm still involved with our Christchurch Creatives group. Well, we're hoping and praying that this fresh expression will be the first of many that will be called out from Christchurch to serve other people's groups. So thank you so much.
Fantastic. Wonderful. So, along with Erica this morning, we've got some members of that core team, not all of whom come to our church. So let's just gather you in the middle. I'm going to pray for you and commission you. Maybe we can have some of Erica's staff colleagues come and join me. But we've got Richard as well, and we've got Nathan Palmer, who I believe is here. Where's Nathan? Nathan, do come over. And we've got Clive College. Fantastic. Clive's over here. Jane Lee, who is from the art sphere. Fantastic. And also Pat Simmons, Mark Orris, and Carrie Howard, who are members of the church family here. So can you come and join us as well? Welcome, Nathan. Thank you. Brilliant. So why don't you stretch out a hand, as is our custom, to these wonderful people as they embark on this new venture. It's been a joy traveling with Erica along this journey into God's heart as she discerned that God was doing something new in and through her. And I'm just so excited that Christchurch should be given the privilege of playing this part in launching a fresh expression for those in our city community who are part of the creative and artistic world. So, Father, we thank you for the way that you speak to us and the way that you lead us. We thank you for the vision that you give us that is beyond what we could come up with ourselves. We thank you for Erica's faithfulness. We thank you for those standing with her who have journeyed with her, who've supported her, who've encouraged her, who've given her the energy to continue pursuing this to your vision, Lord. And we now commission her and them in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of God the Father, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is, as three persons, the great Creator God. And we pray that through this, many creative people who bear that creative image, even if they may not know you, will actually be drawn back to you, to find in you the true root of their creative powers and their creative joy and their artistic expression. We pray that you will do this in the name of Jesus and for his glory and the extension of his kingdom. And all the Lord's people agreed and joined together and said in a loud voice, Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's give them another round of applause. Thank you for being with us today. Just before I hand back to Tim to do some questions, one thing I was going to mention about the coffee shop. You may remember I said, and certainly the leadership will remember, I said that whenever we get a vision from God to do something like that, God always, when you respond, he always does more. And you may have heard that, not least through the hard work of Nicola Healy, who's a member of our church family, Sharon Parsons and others, a consortium of local GPs has approached us, as a result of which we're going to start hosting memory cafes here for the local community. And they're going to start next month. If you don't know what a memory cafe is, or if you've forgotten by the time the gathering finishes, do have a word with me at the end and I can let you know. But that's another exciting venture, particularly in serving some of the older members of our Clifton community. God is always on the move and doing new things. Tim's going to see if you've got any questions for me. And I've got one last thing, Tim, I want to do before I stop.
That's great. Thank you, Paul. We did have two questions that got sent through by email. One about an update on Renew, which you've already covered, and then one also echoing John's comments earlier on about the hearing aid loop. And I think probably, to be fair to the question that was sent through, is there anything more that we can do in the short term to improve the hearing loop facilities in the church? That would be the question I'm sure people would want to ask.
So that I don't know. Mark, do you want to come up? And Mark, our operations manager, will do his best to...
So the existing system that we've got, which is an infrared system, currently one of the transmitters up there is broken. It's actually obsolete, but we're trying to find a supplier who can fix it or mend it. To put in a loop system would involve lifting the carpet, which is why we're slightly reluctant to do that until we're at a stage where we want to do some more work in this building anyway. But we are actively trying to see what we can do to improve the sound in the building.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Thank you, Mark. Does anybody have any other general questions for Paul? Look at that. Amazing. That's wonderful. Well, we're going to enter back into worship
now.
Can
I just do one more thing before we do that?
Of course, yeah.
One thing we've started doing in the last couple of years is, as part of my address, just to close my address, is to remember members of our church family who have died and gone to be with the Lord in the past year. And I wonder if, just as a mark of respect to them, you'd stand with me. And I will just list their names. Some of you will know them. Some of them will have been friends and possibly family members. Some of you won't know them. But we can pray with thanksgiving for the legacy of faith and ministry that they leave. We can pray for those who mourn their loss over this past year. So today we remember with thanksgiving before God the lives of Beryl Davey, Joan Hodgson, John Warne, and Liz Wright. And we keep a moment of quiet as we remember, as we give thanks, and as we pray for those who grieve.
So, Father, we do give you thanks for each and every one of these individuals, loved by this church family and loved by you. And we thank you so much for their life, for their example, and for all that they taught us about you. And we honour their memory now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to remain standing as Sharon and the band and choir continue to lead us in worship. But if you do have children downstairs in one of our various children's groups, then can I please encourage you to go and collect them now and then to bring them back up here, and then we'll continue to worship together as a family up here. So let's worship.